Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I am your host Alan Reed and today I'll be reviewing the January 17th edition of Raw. But before I get into my review of Raw, I want to give my opinion on something recent that happened in WWE, and that is Mustafa Ali requesting his release from WWE. It isn't much of a surprise. He was supposed to get a huge push back in the day at the Elimination Chamber, as we all know, but due to injury, he was replaced by Kofi Kingston, and then Kofi Mania happened. I don't blame Mustafa Ali for wanting to leave the company. He hasn't been used since October of 2021. He's had so many failed attempted storylines that they just ruin, and he did try his best. I think he's talented. He's great in the ring. He's a high flyer in the ring. Great wrestler. It seems like every time he might have some sort of solace in him, they just bring him down with every single storyline they've given him, from the Retribution storyline to it just fell apart. It started out great. You had these crazy people in masks, you know, destroying the ring and everything, and it could have been something great, and it might have actually given us a faction for today, a today faction to actually fear and not know when they're going to attack or what might happen with them. But they just destroyed Retribution. They didn't know what to do with it, and it sucks. I think they should have kind of given Mustafa Ali a bit of freedom in that storyline, so maybe he did have good ideas going forward with Retribution, but they weren't allowing him to really fulfill those visions that he had. And secondly, when he was propped to be the SmackDown hacker, remember when we were getting those random vignettes of a hacker behind the screen and he was watching everything that was happening in WWE? I think the vignettes were interesting to me. I was like, okay, who could this be? Or what are they going to do? Are they just going to like mess around with the equipment or something? But, you know, as we saw, they never really got around to actually doing a storyline behind it. And it's a shame. It could have been, again, something. It could have been something like an Alfred Hitchcock mystery movie. They could have gone with a little mystery on it. But again, they just took the plunge. They took the plunge on that one. And Mustafa Ali, again, had no storyline with him. And then basically from there, they were just using him as really as almost like enhancement talent. They were giving him one match every other month or every other week. And so I don't blame Mustafa Ali for wanting to leave WWE. Where will he go? I mean, the doors will be open for him for any other promotion that he would want to go in. I am certainly sure that they will use Mustafa Ali as he should be used, because he has so much talent. Like I said, so much talent in the ring. He does a good job in promos. He's pretty convincing. So I hope nothing but the best for Mustafa Ali, and hopefully we will be able to see him soon in another promotion, and hopefully see his light shine as it should be. With that being said, I want to get straight into my review of Raw. So the night starts off with Becky Lynch in the ring, and she cuts a promo, basically giving herself credit for making Doudrop famous now, and she now makes any woman wrestler famous. Personally, with this Becky Lynch versus Doudrop match at Royal Rumble, I feel like it's just going to be a blunder. I'm really not excited about this. I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving both women enough credit right now, but I just don't see this match being like, wow. And then as Becky does her promo, Doudrop comes out and she does her own promo and shuts Becky up. And that she did it on her own. Becky didn't make her famous. And then Bianca Belair comes out after. And, you know, it seems like the whole women's locker room is against Becky Lynch, which obviously that is the point. Becky is, you know, the champion. Everyone wants to come out. And then Bianca makes her announcement that she is in the Royal Rumble match. And then Liv Morgan comes out and she makes her announcement that she is in the women's Royal Rumble match. So this whole thing leads into a tag team match. We have Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan versus Becky Lynch and Doudrop. Before the match, like I was talking about, it was a typical promo before a match. Nothing special happened, nor was anything special supposed to happen. So they were just building up to the tag match, bringing everyone out simultaneously. And as the match progressed, they're seriously making Doudrop seem like she's the heaviest thing in the world. Apparently, no one can lift her now, but back then they could lift her. You know, they're doing this whole like Big John Studd type of thing or Andre the Giant type of thing that no one can lift her. And I'm pretty sure Becky's gonna get that moment at the Royal Rumble where she actually does lift her and slam her down. As the match went on, you can tell that the cracks were showing. Doudrop and Becky, they cannot be a team, obviously. Doudrop broke up Becky. Becky Lynch's count when Becky should have actually won the match for them. And then Doudrop gives Liv Morgan the big splash and she gets the win. And then Doudrop gives Becky Lynch the big drop. And I don't know how this is going to go. Like I said, I'm not probably the least exciting match I am looking forward to. But as we have one more week to it, so we will see what will happen. Next up, we have the KO show with special guest Seth freaking Rollins. So now Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are best friends. Random. They're going with that typical best friend angle where one person is going to backstab the other. Sure, why not? It works. It is what it is. And then Seth Rollins claims that Roman Reigns is scared of him. And as for this segment itself, I couldn't get much after because I had an important meeting literally during this with family. So I couldn't get much of the KO show, but I'm pretty sure it was something juicy, I would say. Next, we have Alpha Academy graduation ceremony. I'm happy for Alpha Academy. They're a fighting tag team champion. Like I always said, for weeks or months, I couldn't see them staying as a tag team unless they won the tag team championship. They're great. Chad Gables, I think, is becoming pretty underrated in a sense of becoming a heel that talks and makes fun of the crowd, makes fun of where he's at, you know. And Otis is that typical big guy that has his back, that has a bodyguard. And I'm happy for them, but let's see how long they stay as champions. I don't think it will last very long. I wouldn't be surprised if they do lose it at the Royal Rumble or after Royal Rumble. As for the segment, Otis got his diploma. I guess he graduated. That's cool. And then RK-Bro, thank God, stopped the ceremony, but it was only Riddle. But this ceremony, I don't know why, I did not find it any amusing or anything. The only thing I actually really enjoyed is the way that Chad Gable kept insulting Oklahoma. I mean, that man loved it. I mean, that man went on a rampage and just calling people of Oklahoma dumb and uneducated and stuff. He liked it. You can tell he liked it. And then I know where Randy Orton came from behind Chad Gable and gave him an RKO. This segment was very underwhelming. Didn't really feel like anything was going to happen or should have happened. Next, we have Finn Balor versus Austin Theory. Again, like many of you guys know or read, Austin Theory is the future of WWE. I see him going places. Soon enough, he will get gold around his waist. What gold? I wouldn't be surprised if it's tag team gold, intercontinental gold, U.S. champion gold, but he is going to have gold around his waist at some point because he is on Vince McMahon's good side. Like he is, you know, he's getting up there, right? As the match itself with Finn versus Austin, it was super underwhelming. I think they just told Finn Balor, hey, don't do much, kind of be a jobber for Austin Theory, let Austin Theory get all the spots. It literally felt like that because no one in the crowd was even cheering. I wasn't even cheering. I was just looking at it. I was kind of like, okay, this is really just all over the place. And Austin Theory, he did it. He does the ATL and he gets the win. And that was it. I mean, if you want us to believe that Austin Theory is the future or is something to be like a force to be reckoned with, they should start giving him real competition with an actual like storyline. Going back and forth, because if you're just gonna give him a random match every week with a random superstar, that has to lose to Austin Theory, you're not really proving to us that Austin is the future, even though we know he is, but he's not. Vince is not giving us the proof of, like, to reassure us that, hey, Austin Theory, he will be your future champion. It's a little bit underwhelming for me, because I feel like Austin has way more to give than what they're making him give to us. It's 50-50, because I could be wrong, man. Other people can disagree with me. Maybe they're just building up Austin Theory to go against someone big. Don't get me wrong. I don't need Austin Theory versus Brock Lesnar right now, because that would be a terrible match. That'll be a Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston SmackDown match, and you guys know what I mean by that. Next up, we have Rhea Ripley versus Nikki A.S.H. And now, of course, Nikki is a heel. She's a bad guy. She's a villain. Before the match even started, Queen Selena and Carmella came out, and for some reason, kudos to Selena Vega for actually going along with this whole Queen thing, Queen of the Ring, and bringing in a British accent. But she slowly just kind of lost it, and she just went back to her regular English accent. But it was actually like, I was like, okay, no, she's keeping character. She's going for that British accent. That's cool. Carmella and Nikki, they didn't really do anything. They just came outside just to prove the point that Nikki and Rhea were going to break up. They weren't going to be friends. And then the match didn't even start. Nikki just attacked Rhea Ripley when Rhea was distracted with Selena and Carmella. And yeah, Nikki throws Rhea to the steel steps. And that's it. It was just an ambush. It wasn't even a match. It was nothing. Clearly, they are going to have a match at the Royal Rumble, or sometime before Royal Rumble, but they're building it up. As Nikki as a heel, I mean, there's not much to really go off on, but so far, I'm not going to lie, I kind of like her more as this, like, superhero villain type of thing, instead of this whole, like, cheery, annoying, boisterous, in-your-face superhero that wants to make you happy. No, I kind of like Nikki as this, like, villain, kind of like getting her anger out. It feels natural. To me, it feels natural what Nikki is doing. Well, we will see as time goes on, to see how far Nikki's heel character will keep going. Next up, we have the match that I don't know why they book it. This is probably the most terrible booking I've ever seen. And my first thoughts were okay with 10,000 question marks after Omos versus Reggie. Yes, I just said okay with 10,000 question marks after, because I was like, what are they doing? This is the worst booking I've seen in months or in years. Though I do love the comment that Corey Graves said. He said, welcome to the most legal thing to a human sacrifice. I died. I actually laughed, because that was spot on comedy for me. As the match was all over the place, you know, Kira Kuzuzawi, he comes out, tries to go for Dana Brooke's 24/7 belt, but she hauls ass away, and then almost basically takes out Kira, R-Truth, and almost Tamina, but Tamina just runs out. Then Reggie jumps off the top rope, he lands onto almost hands, almost slams him down, gets the win. Like I said, probably the stupidest match ever booked of WWE's life, or maybe any promotion in itself. I honestly don't know what they were thinking. Next up, we have Maryse and Beth Phoenix segment inside the ring. And clearly, Maryse is terrified. She doesn't want the match to happen. Yeah, you can just tell in her face. She's nervous. She doesn't want the match to happen. She's terrified of Beth Phoenix. And Maryse tells Beth Phoenix that she wants to cancel the match, that she's a mother, that she's going to play dates and stuff like that. And Beth Phoenix doesn't want to call off the match. She says, hell no, I'm not calling off the match. I'm going to kick your ass. Then The Miz attacks Edge outside the ring. And then Maryse hits Beth Phoenix with her purse and knocks her out. Because clearly a purse will knock you out, apparently. But once Maryse and The Miz were by the entrance ramp, they showed that it was a brick inside of the purse. Typical. I mean, I knew from the start that when she was carrying the purse, obviously there had to be a brick inside. Cause it just, I don't know, it's just so typical. Next up, we have Street Profits and the Mysterios versus the Dirty Dogs and Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. This match, it was good. It was a decent tag team match. It was good. Street Profits, they did get the pin for the win. Nothing special really happened though to say what happened during the match. This from here, I was thinking at this point of Raw, and this was before the main event of Raw. I was thinking that this episode of Raw has just felt like an entire show filler. I was not feeling this episode of Raw. I was not feeling it. I felt like it just dragged. I felt like there was just nothing happening, no build-ups, or at least enough of a build-up to get to next week. It just felt like a failure of a show the whole night, minus the main event, which I'll get into. The whole night though, it just felt like one big show filler. I feel like they just scrambled to get things finished, things written, things rehearsed, and they just decided to put it out and get it over with. But man, this episode was disappointing as hell. And that brings me into the main event, which was Bobby Lashley versus Seth Rollins. And to me, this match actually saved the night for me, because I was just getting ready to just fall asleep, because I just did not see anything interesting happening to me, and nothing come by. Not even the whole Bliss in the Mental Institute segment thing. That's just really typical Bliss character, you know, nothing happened. So as for Bobby Lashley versus Seth Rollins, throughout the whole night, they were really hyping up the whole Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. I wrote on the thing with Aaron's vignettes of their accomplishments from back in the day. And I love how they're really hyping it up. They're making it seem like, you know, a once in a lifetime thing where, you know, you're never going to see this again. And this is, you know, this is what we wanted. This is what Bobby Lashley wanted. So I'm feeling the hype. I'm falling for the hype, you know. It's probably one of my most anticipated match of the year, and I don't even know what's going to happen after, but it is very anticipated, and it probably will be one of the best matches of 2022, and it's only January, which that would say something. As for the match, Seth Rollins, he came into this match a little bit too confident. Maybe he had a slick smile, slick smirk. He was laughing. I don't think he was taking Bobby Lashley serious. But Lashley, he went for the Hurt Lock early on, and Seth Rollins was able to get away from it. Seth, he dived through the ropes, and then Lashley grabbed him, and he suplexed him outside of the ring. And to believe it or not, Seth Rollins, he had a lot more offense than I thought he would have had with Lashley during the match. He played it smart. He started to work on Lashley's knee for the remainder of the match, and he tried to keep him down as best as he could, which is what you do when you're against a big man like Lashley. If the knees will go out, he won't have any strength to stand up. Boom, you take him out. And Lashley's knee was Lashley's like kryptonite of the night. He could barely put any pressure on it, at least for some moments. So Seth Rollins did a good job on working on Lashley's knee, and maybe he was doing it to kind of get him a little weak for his Royal Rumble match. Could be. And Seth Rollins, he gave Lashley a pedigree, but Lashley kicked out. And then Lashley gave Seth Rollins a belly-to-belly from the top rope, which was a cool move. It was a cool spot. And then out of nowhere, for some random reason, the Hurt Business, they decided to come out and attack Lashley, and basically caused Lashley the match for disqualification. So I don't know what was the point. Again, every time I see the Hurt Business, I feel like it's just someone in the back saying, okay, they need a few minutes of TV time. You go out there and do something random. And that's what happened. Lashley, he speared Shelton Benjamin through the barricade, which I always enjoy. And then the surprise of the night was the Usos. They actually came out and they super kicked Seth Rollins. Was that a message from Roman Reigns to Seth Rollins? Of course it was. Roman Reigns doesn't have to personally go. He can just get his little henchmen to go do his work for him. there you go. That was a little message from Roman Reigns to Seth Rollins. And this was probably, like I said, this is the best part of the night, really. I think they saved the show with this main event and having Usos and Hurt Business come out, even though I'm not a fan of Hurt Business anymore, but it did do a little more to grow the storyline. Because, like I said, the rest of the show, bland, boring, nothing happened. Storylines weren't really pushed that much. Only Lashley and Seth's storylines were really pushed. And yeah, if I was to give it a rating, I would give it a 4 out of 10. I did not feel this episode at all. And it's sad because last week I feel like there was potential to give more for what was supposed to be this week. And they failed to do so. I didn't really see anything happening. So hopefully next Monday we will get something better. And we should be getting something better because it will be 1 week before Royal Rumble. So we should be getting a little more hyped up. So hopefully they will try to hype us up this time. That will do it for this review of Raw. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.